So Wendy and I were out to dinner with my TA from Fuller and her husband. And we were having sushi. Yeah, that's right. that's what it sounded like in the background of the place. We were having sushi. But of course, because we were having sushi, the conversation turned toward goldfish. It's just, you know, how those conversations do. There we go. Thank you. Awesome. I love you too, sweetie pie. That's good. I know. I covered myself in donut. Like the Cookie Monster. Like, blah, 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 peace be with you. Blah, 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 you know. but anyway. So we were talking about goldfish, and you know how those images just kind of develop in the middle of a conversation? And part of it was Dave, and part of it was me, and we just concocted this image. He says, there's an image of a goldfish sitting on a psychiatrist's couch. You know, so just imagine, yeah, there's a goldfish. Well, they kind of look like this. it's never lonely in here. And, you know, you got the psychiatrist. And the caption, the goldfish is saying, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm just an entry-level pet. I'm just an entry-level pet. And if you think about that, that's true. Think of all the horrendous things done to goldfish in our society. That goldfish are like the disposable. Yeah. Anything having to do with this, right? Sushi. So everyone's practicing, all the kids are practicing to be sushi chefs on there. You know, you can win goldfish in games. You can use them in contests. You can, you know, staple them to your wall. Ba-dum, 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 whatever. You didn't do that? I'm just joking. That's called hyperbole. Okay, hyperbole. There we go. So, but these horrendous things done to goldfish, because goldfish are considered to be without worth, without value. They're the disposable entry-level pet that everybody practices on for becoming a pet owner. And it's got to impact their self-worth if they had self-awareness. So, which reminds me a little bit of Jesus. That's the segue there. Bad segue. But they kind of embody the fact that our society has provisional statuses built into it. The conversation actually had started or was picking back up on this, I guess, a horrendous ad that says, if you could drive any car that you want, would you be driving the car that you have now? You know, this entry-level car. It's automatic dissatisfaction with whatever car you're in. Always to compare your dreams with your actuality. And, you know, my immediate response was, yes, I'd drive the car that I drive because the car I drive embodies all of my values, not just one. You know, it's an expression of all the values I hold to in my life. So this idea, provisional statuses, you get a green card and you start. You know, you start at an entry level. We have the bronze plan, the silver plan, the gold plan, the platinum plan, the diamond plan, some plutonium plan or something like that. We do so many things on leases, right? How many things are done on leases in our society? This idea of it's provisional. We do it for now. This is our entry-level experience of this thing. Red box, right?
I'm not really going to buy the movie. I just want to... Can I have it for a day or 12? You know? It's all provisional. And it was reminding me of summer. You were saying, it's summer, everyone's social. My experience of summer has changed over the years. As a teenager, you remember summer as a teen? Some of you are teens, you may remember summer. It's right now. This is summer, the feel of summer.
Do you love me? Do you, surfer? Little surfer girl, my little surfer girl. Right? So that's that summer as a teenager. It's full of thrill and longing, and I, as a teenager, I liked being with groups at the beach. I don't like people at the beach now. I want them all to leave, all right? Get off my beach. I want to be here with the water and the sand and the strange amphibious creatures, okay? I don't want the people. But back then, it's all about who you're going to see. It's there's a idiom in French called licking the window. La vitrine, right? We call it window shopping. Right? Like, licking the window, aren't we? That's summer as a teenager. It's the period of provisional romances, right? Or, here's another one. Is this summer or what? What are you doing? I'm digging myself, right? I'm digging myself. I got my Ray-Bans, right? How many of you guys know this song? You guys know this song, right? Right? This is summer. Come on. Right? See, I don't even have hair to pull back anymore. Love for you will still be strong after the boys of summer have gone. It's all that tragedy in there, right? Like love, hope, thrill, excitement, adventure, prospect, potential, exploration, and disappointment and despair and heartbreak and all that stuff. That's all mixed in with having provisional relationships over the summer. But that's what it's all about. Summer is basically an elevator between seasons, right? Between school years. You're just going to get in there and you hope you have a romance in the elevator before you get to the next school year. It's provisional. That's, we'll have fun, till her daddy takes the T-Bird away. But that's what we're going to be doing. And that's okay. It's stage appropriate to be exploring as a teen. And those romances are valid. But those romances, summer romances are sort of that person that you're with for now. Of course, there's a deeper hope that you're going to be with someone forever, but it's the feeling that you're with someone for now. And we're mutually agreed to be exploring what relationship is. And I'll experiment with you if you'll experiment with me. How's that? But there's not really that anticipation of much more. It's a summer romance, and it's sort of the unstated social contract that that's the long and the short of it. And it's a home run, grand slam, if you get anything more. Mr. Right Now versus Mr. Right. Dang straight. I wish I had known that phrase. That is so cool. Yeah. And that's why they call it what? Puppy love. Yeah. Because underneath all of it, there is a deep awareness that there's a different kind of love waiting. And that's what you're really aiming for. And the provisional romance is there only as a sort of foretaste demo, you know, stripped down version, the read-only version of relationship. Yeah, instead of the one that you can actually use. Eventually, a different kind of relationship arises. And that relationship is one that has depth. That's one that has trajectory. One in which it's more than just you got your Wayfarers on and the radio in the convertible digging yourself and having a fun time for the summer. See, the difference is that one is from now, kind of a little bit forward, hoping to the future until then. But the other one says now and forever. And it really builds forever in a trajectory from building up to the moment. Bless you. It's what was, what is, and what you hope it will be, and what you commit to it being forever. And that's a completely, that's a whole nother level of relationship. And the summer romance is great, but it only hearkens and foreshadows that other depth and degree of relationship that we know is the real goal. And the song changes. Another one? I told him it would be a while, but nope, I'm throwing it on him quickly. It's no longer the girl from Ipanema, right? Long and tan, young. This is different, isn't it? This is not the boys of summer. You hear that? That's not a summer romance song. What's the image that you get when you hear that song? What kind of a relationship do you hear there? You hear older people. Not only because it's Kenny Rogers, right? Who, I think he was born at the same, yeah, Kenny Rogers. I think he was born at the same time as Ramses II. But, right? But you get an impression of someone in a mature relationship, someone who's maybe 50, 60 years old. And these people have been together for a while. And he's reflecting backward as well as projecting forward. And it's not we're going to get to this relationship someday. It's we're in this relationship and now we're just digging it deeper. He still wants, there are so many ways I want to say I love you. After all those years, there's so many ways I want to say I love you. That's what relationship begins to become when you're past Boys of Summer. You got that? Come on. Everybody knows the chorus for this one, right? Another ordinary day. Almost. Second chorus, right? Days within the month of June. Everybody, come on, if you know it. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. Keep going.
I just call to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
See, nothing special about that day. He's going through the list of all the things that aren't special. It's not just in being enamored with a wedding in June. It's not just a summer day. In fact, there's nothing going on today, but I have to tell you that I love you. Because we're growing this thing deeper. That's what you're shooting for when the boys of summer have gone. And at that point, you have to express something that's like the processional for your wedding, which is, what, last week? Yeah. Last Friday. I was going to say, woo! What was your processional? The what?
The throne room song.
Yes. And what's the refrain? One step.
Oh, sorry.
Processional.
That was 1,000 years.
1,000 years. One step closer. One step closer. That's the refrain of a love song. For those of you who haven't been here, we've been going over God's Vinyl, which is just a series on the songs of Scripture. We've looked at anthems, you know, the song of a people. We've looked at leitmotif. Actually, it'd be leitmotifen. Leitmotifs that a personal theme, you know, like Darth Vader's theme. We've looked at songs of home, where you identify. We looked at praise and adoration, where you appreciate and glorify. But you see, when you put all of those together, all of those values, when something has to embody all of those dimensions, loyalty and adoration and covenant and identity and that sense of home, now you have to sing a love song. Because love grabs that whole aspect. You have to say, who am I to you? Who are you to me? And who are we together? And there are songs in the Psalms. We've been looking at the Psalms as some of, obviously there's lots of songs there. That pick up this idea. And it's more than just simply the acclaim of our God from a distance. It's that there is devotion between us. Devotion between us. And this is one of the fingerprint hallmark traits of Christianity and the Judeo-Christian tradition, more so than other religious dimensions. This is not, I love our ethics. I really agree and believe our principles. Imagine if somebody said to you, you know, you're married. Your spouse says to you, I love you. And you said, I love our home. And they said, I love you. And they say, I really love our way of life. I love you. I love our family. I love you. I love where we live. No, that doesn't meet the standard. Doesn't do the job. You have to call and say, I love you. And there's this dimension in Christianity that says we are in a devotional relationship, a love relationship with our God. That's the image in Ephesians 5 about Christ and the church. That's John 14:21, right? He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That this is a person-to-person relationship. Yes, it's religion. Never lose sight of the fact that it's religion. Religion is okay. Religion just means your highest loyalty, okay? But it's also this very deep devotional relationship that says we have a history. And we're walking that history in commitment forever. And we're not just walking that history in commitment to each other forever. We're trying to get it one step closer. Even, like sometimes, I love my wife, I love Wendy with all of my heart when we got married. All of my heart. And I love her more now. Which is odd math. Unless you take into account the fact that my heart has grown. Right? Because you can love somebody with all your heart and then love them more. Because your heart gets deeper and the relationship gains. There's a difference between religion in group, in mass, and religion person to person. Relationship there. And then you have to hit the songs of devotion. Let's look at just a couple of them. Start with the most familiar, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Just to wrap your head around it, think about religion in the ancient Middle East, ancient Near East, right? Think about ziggurats and idols and slaughtering animals and walking them up there and pouring out their blood and just trying to keep the wrath of the gods at bay. Okay? Think about Ra and Baal and Molech. Think about people doing things like taking their children and rolling them into a fire to try to appease the gods. This thing of these weird gods out there, the death of the earth every year and its rebirth through ritual. Okay? That's the ancient Near East. Bizarre junk for religion. Okay? And then this guy appears on the scene. This guy appears on the scene and he writes this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is not, oh great someone out there, our nation beseecheth you not to squisheth thy bugs. So we give you this cat. Yeah. And a goldfish. This is, I love you. I love you. And you walk with me and you take me places and you watch over me and you provide for me. And I want to be with you forever. I just called to say I love you. That's all this hymn is about. I just called to say I love you. Listen over, take some excerpts. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he'll hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He'll conceal me under the cover of his tent. He'll set me on high on a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me, and I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I'll sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Now, normally we would put our prayer request right there. Hear me, O Lord, Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. And my heart says to you, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. That's not a summer romance. That's, I'm forever yours. Faithfully, right? Saying, what do I want out of this thing? What do I want out of religion in my life? I want to hang out with the Lord. Yeah, there's all that other stuff. There's really neat things about living forever. That's kind of cool. It's nice that the Lord says to us, you know what? I don't want you to end. I like you and I don't want you to end. But that's not really the essential center of our faith lives. The essential center is, I want to know the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. I'm curious about what he thinks. And sometimes it's just the two old people sitting on a bench holding hands going, it's just about proximity. It's not companionship for now. It's companionship. It's more than just, hey, will you walk me through this summer because it's thrilling. It's deeper. Look at another one. Turn over, let's see. Psalm 63. How's that one? Oh God, you're my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where no water is, so I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. Yes, we praise God because he deserves it, just in a transcendent reality. But we praise God because we love him. It's because your steadfast love is better than life, I praise you. That's what this is all about. My soul, so will I bless thee as long as I live. I'll lift up my hands and I'll call on your name. This is not obligation. This is gratitude and appreciation and hope and thrill and deepening and commitment, all wrapped into one. Something like that. My soul is feasted as with marrow and fat, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you've been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. That's what that's about. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. These are all full. The Psalms are full of these. I and thou. Like Jesus prayed in his prayer. I and thou and me. Right? And they in me and I in thou, that they may be one even as we are one. That's what that's about. The great tragedy of summer romances is that they paint physical intimacy on top of a lack of commitment. And that's like taking your life savings, putting it cash, putting it in a plastic bag, and putting it on top of your car. It's just going to make you more nervous. Yeah. Because it's falsehood. And it's no substitute for the real commitment. I want to say, if you have missed this dimension, if you can't say, I'm experiencing that in my religion, you have missed the heart of faith. Because this is the center. This relationship with God is the heart of faith. It's not our reason. It's not our worldview. It's, I am in love with you. And let's live this thing all of our lives. This is oh, no, let's go to the next one. Sorry about that. I already sang that one. Well, kind of mimicked it. This is the core of Christian faith. Right? If this is not the character that you experience in your faith, the Lord wants you to come a step closer. He wants you out of summer romance and into life. That's his pull. That's his call. He doesn't want a boys of summer relationship with you. Or fun till daddy takes the T-bird away. This is, we've only just begun. Church has been doing this for 2,000 years. And we have only just begun. We have not discovered our God in his fullness. We haven't lived out our devotion fully. This is an intimate table where the Lord says, this is my white lace and promises. It embodies all the love that we've had up till now, and it projects love into the future. This is what we're going to do. And I'm forever yours faithfully. This is who we are, a little bit closer. Listen to the words of Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of the grave laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walked before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, all men are a vain hope.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I'm your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You've loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So what do we do when someone's poured love out on us? How do you respond to that? You say, sure, I love you back. And that's what this is. You take the cup of salvation and you say to us. So the worship team, if you want to play some songs here, if you're a believer, come on up. Take the elements back. We'll partake together. If you're not a believer, now's the time to become a believer. It's really easy. It takes two words, I do. You say, I do. You don't know what marriage is all about when you get married. You say, I do, and then you spend a lifetime working it out. It's the same thing with Christ. You say, I do. I don't understand, but I do. And you can have my life, and let's do this thing. And then you work it out. I'm convinced that everyone comes to Christ as a heretic because nobody has good theology when you come to Christ. So, come on up. If you're a believer, take the cup. And if you just want to come up, if you don't feel like you can take communion, if your faith is not in that place, come up and get a blessing. All right. And then go back to your seat and we'll partake together. Come on up.